All right, yeah, away we go on a Monday edition, Mr. Relevant. I'm Alex Stroph with you from the Gerber Law Offices, One Call, That's All Studio at the Avenue, downtown Milwaukee. Joshy DiMaggio is here. Will Summers is here. No Hunter Vaughn today because he's got some important work stuff today. So it's all the Milwaukee crew. Will Summers, his second attempt in a couple weeks at Wally Pipping. This time Hunter Vaughn, last time it was Joshy. Although we should really call that Babe Ruth thing. I think that's something we need to bring back to the table at some point.
Yeah, basically I'm just the Swiss Army knife of ESPN Milwaukee. Kind of just play me wherever. I'll get the job done, coach.
Joshy.
So we're calling it Babe Ruthing because he's better in this situation.
So Babe Ruth replaced Wally Pip.
Yes.
And we call that getting Wally Pipped. Yes. Right? So like Brett Favre replaced Don Majkowski.
Yes.
That would be called getting magicked, but that's very backwards to me because it should be called getting farved or getting Babe Ruth.
Oh, I didn't realize your opinion on this was so bad. All right, let's move along.
We got a tweet over the weekend from Kevin in Sheboygan.
Uh-huh. Shout out, Kev.
Who said, I'm just catching up, and I got to say, when Josh is mean to Stroph, it's the best. You did an impersonation of me reflecting on my year.
Yeah.
After I saw that Kevin tweet, I went back and listened to it because I hadn't done that yet.
Uh-huh.
Boy, are you funny when you're on. I mean, when you've got your fastball, you've got your fastball.
Yeah, the thing that happens there is you provide the content. I just, you alley-oop it.
Yeah, sure.
Oftentimes, it's not intentional. It's not like you're some great joke setup.
Oh,
guy.
No, I'm a comedic genius.
You just walk yourself backwards into the jokes being pretty obvious to make at your expense.
Sure.
Yeah.
I won't argue with that.
Yeah, that's just sort of how things go.
I've always been the punchline, right? And maybe this gives you a little bit of sight into the way I'm wired. I don't want to say I was bullied as a kid. But I think I made it easy if that was the case.
I think every child at some point or another faced some bullying, be it from an older sibling, be it from kids older in school, or be sure. It even classmates. Like, yeah. Now there's certainly degrees of it, not to get too deep on into it, but there's certainly degrees of it. Like, I was definitely bullied at points, yeah. But it wasn't relentless. It was like the older kids picking on you. You deal with it, you move on. It's not like malicious at heart.
So are you comparing yourself right now to said older kids in this scenario?
Well, I'm certainly not malicious. You certainly do make it easy at times. As we've talked about formerly on Scales and Brust, it's a constructive bullying.
Right.
Sometimes you correct a behavior. Like you opening a sentence with, man, I've had a crazy year. Let's reflect on that. It is, something that I think should probably be talked out of you.
Yeah. And you did it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, here we are.
And then instead of just being mean, I made it funny. Great way to defuse it. I could have said, you're a ignorant, selfish blank. That wouldn't have been fun.
I don't know. It might have been a little fun. I would just pause there. All right, I've got a take right off the rip.
Uh-oh.
And I haven't super fleshed this one out, so I might need your help.
Perfect.
But as we...
Is it better or worse than 8 or 13?
So it actually has something to do with that.
Oh. You went to the lab?
I went to the lab a little bit. So I said on Friday's show that Jordan Love is the ultimate X factor, right? Nobody's surprised by that, but he is the ultimate X factor in determining how many games the Packers will win this season. Now, if you've listened to the show for a while, you know how high I am on Love. You know how high I am on the Packers offense in 2025, given the level of investment they've put into the offense over the years, but also just this offseason, both with the draft, signing Aaron Banks, trying to improve that offensive line, and obviously a fully healthy Love, or at least we anticipate a fully healthy Love at the beginning of the year, again, when the season begins on Sunday, September 7th, against the Detroit Lions. So going through the 17-game schedule, Joshy, I have determined that in a minimum of 11 games, Jordan Love is the better quarterback in the matchup. Now, again, it's a team sport. Quarterbacks do not necessarily determine the winner or the loss, but more than any other position, they do. I think there are 6 games on the Packers' schedule where he is not the best quarterback in the matchup. 2 of those games are against the Detroit Lions. And look, Goff is more accomplished. He's had a better career. We know this. Could Jordan Love ultimately end up being the better quarterback between the two of them? I think the answer is yes. But just in terms of sample size, career trajectory, etc., Jared Goff has proven he's a better quarterback than Jordan Love as it stands right now. So two of the six matchups that I've determined, Jordan Love is not the better quarterback in is against the Lions. The other games against Cincinnati, Joe Burrow, against Philadelphia, Jalen Hurts, and against Baltimore, Lamar. I think I'm missing one. Maybe Dak or Jaden Daniels, Washington. Although, that's kind of a coin flip, too. So all in all, in terms of the really good quarterbacks in the league, you avoid most of them. Lamar and Joe Burrow are obviously two of the best quarterbacks in the league. You see them at different points in the season. Joe Burrow week 5, Lamar Jackson week 17. If Jordan Love is going to be the X factor, the good news is I think he's the better quarterback on the field in at least 11 games this season, which is an encouraging sign. That's what I determined, Josh. There's my take.
I think that's fair. I also think it's quite evident that Jordan Love, being what he's paid, what we've seen from him, will more often than not be the better quarterback. I mean, aside from the two obvious like MVP candidate type guys, now Joe Burrow, if he could stay healthy, who knows what he'll actually end up being. I would push back on Jared Goff being better. Let's see Jared Goff without Ben Johnson. And this is dictated by the stats. He is a completely different person with and without Ben Johnson. So maybe he's evolved and become a better passer. But when you think of like a dynamic quarterback and a guy who can change a game, Jared Goff doesn't have what Jordan Love has in terms of that. The off-platform throws, making evading sacks, that type of stuff. Certainly, you can say, yeah, well, look at the Lions versus the Packers. That's fair, but there's more factors, as you've said, when it comes to like actually who's better. I also, I'm a strong believer that QB wins do matter. And that line that everybody
that
repeats,
quarterback wins is not a stat.
Yes, that everyone loves to repeat because most often it happens in the Packers world because rather than saying Aaron Rodgers underperformed, we like to say it was everyone else's fault, which was a long storied history.
Here goes the Aaron Rodgers hate again. Here
a
he goes.
Long storied history here in Wisconsin because until his final 2 years, I don't think Aaron Rodgers ever got blamed for a loss.
Not many times.
Yeah.
I wouldn't argue with that.
I've always believed that even prior to my distaste and distrust of Aaron Rodgers. But quarterbacks make the difference. We see it happen all the time. Why are Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes always in Super Bowls? Is it because they just lucked into the two best situations of all time? Or they elevate the players around them to a level that creates more wins? And I mean, Aaron Rodgers did a ton of winning. And he's largely responsible for it.
Yeah.
So I also want to give the most winning quarterbacks credit because Aaron Rodgers was one of them.
Absolutely he was.
But a loss never seemed like it was his fault. And let's be honest, there were a few losses last season that were Jordan Love's fault.
Mm-hmm.
Him just throwing the ball seemingly up for grabs at times. And there were some games that it wasn't Jordan Love's fault and his supporting cast let him down.
Yeah, I would say on Love. You know, this is something we talked about a lot last offseason, and that is we were just looking for the consistency. Yeah. Now, mm-hmm. Love obviously dealt with a slew of injuries throughout the regular season last year, and it wasn't his best ball by any means, but it seemed like he was a little less erratic, but he still had erratic moments. He still had questionable decision-making moments where you go, to your point, what are you doing there, Jordan?
Yeah.
And the hope is, obviously, in year 3 as a starter, and what would this be, year 6 in the league for Jordan Love? That those are minimized, right? The erratic decisions, the questionable throws, you're still going to have moments. Nobody's perfect. But you hope that those get cut down a little bit. And then all of a sudden, maybe you're making the argument that Jordan Love's the better quarterback in 14 of the 17.
His evolution is going to be interesting because some of that gunslinger behavior is what makes him great, but also a reason that leads to poor decisions, a la the previous gunslinger we saw around here in Brett Favre. You don't want to take away the, the improbable throws and the incredible playmaking that they're capable of. You just want a little bit better decision-making. There's a time and a place, and that's what made Aaron Rodgers great, is he seemed to pull the rabbit out of the hat quite often, And make the incredible throws, but he rarely made the bad decision while doing that. Like, how many times did he scramble out of what seemed like an impossible pocket and then look downfield and go, I'm just going to throw this one away, rather than what Jordan Love likes to do, which is just, well, hopefully they come down with
it. Hopefully it works.
And yeah.
Obviously, there's been a few of those moments already with Love through 2 years as the starter where you go, whoa, that was sweet. I think of the Jaden Reed catch. Was that against the Rams last year in triple coverage? It was not a smart ball at all by Jordan Love, but ultimately it became this great play, maybe the best play of the season for the Packers offense, that deep throw to the Reed that he somehow pulled down between three Rams defenders. But
I also don't want to lose good quarterback play with us searching for like great Aaron Rodgers quarterback play. Like, I'd like for us to be able to appreciate a talent. What's going on here? You're switching the cameras. Has my camera not been working this whole time, Will?
It's been laggy and then it froze.
Ah, okay, good.
Figure it out.
You just got to unplug it there. But I don't think there's ever going to be a Jordan Love that is like Aaron Rodgers-esque or Patrick Mahomes-esque or any level of player that isn't going to be mistake-prone. It's just that can't be the only way he plays. Like, he's going to be closer on the high end of like an Eli Manning scale than he is going to be on Aaron Rodgers not throwing interceptions, being super cerebral. Like, there's going to be some wild stuff that happens with Jordan because that's just the type of player he is.
Yeah, and I agree with that.
You don't want to take away those great moments and try and make him like a Kirk Cousins-esque, where really unwilling to take risks, but also not going to win you big games. Because you need a guy like Jordan Love to be playing at his best and pulling a rabbit out of a hat to win Super Bowls versus he's super consistent. He's going to throw the ball away when he should. He's going to hit the routes exactly how they're meant to be. But if
so, the case you're making is you would prefer the former?
I would prefer a little bit more erratic and less consistent. If we were able to harness the high ends.
Sure.
Because the high ends to me are what matter.
The high ends are what matter.
Because
see that more consistently with guys like Mahomes and Allen and Burrow or Love. It's been a little roller coastery for 2 years, right? I think everybody would agree on that. Now, I'm not trying to make excuses because but I do think it's important to point out how hampered he was last year, right?
Yes.
What was it? Three different injuries. I think.
Well, his injuries. The injuries of his receivers, the inconsistent play of his receivers.
Yeah.
There's plenty of reasons to not, like, I've seen some worry about Jordan Love, and I'm not there yet. I'm still making the case for optimism.
Good. I don't have a problem with that. I think that's the right case to make. And, you know, when it comes to the season, obviously we've got a lot of offseason left, about 2 months until training camp kicks up in Green Bay, when we get to really see the football side of things and see how some of these competitions offensively mesh out. But I still think when you look at him, obviously he is the most important guy, and seeing the contracted guy like Brock Purdy gets on Friday, which, I mean, it's market value, right? You don't have I think it was 5 year, 265, an average annual value of $53 million. I think he had a little bit more guaranteed than Love got. That's the right deal for the 49ers to make. It's a good deal for Purdy. It's a guy that led you to a Super Bowl and obviously has totally outshot expectations of being, no pun intended, Mr. Irrelevant a couple of years ago. I don't have an issue. I don't want to have the conversation of, oh, well, is Jordan Love overpaid or who would you rather have? Because I think my answer is still Love, despite the fact Purdy has made it to a Super Bowl. I think what Jordan Love has shown through 2 years as a starting quarterback in this league is he has the opportunity to be really good. And he has the opportunity to be a top five quarterback in this league at some point. Now, last year, roller coastery. His first year starting, roller coastery with a really high, right? The final 8-game stretch, counting that postseason game in Dallas, and even some of that game against San Francisco. Not the entire game, but some of it. And last year was just kind of up and down, dealing with the injuries. This is the year where Jordan Love needs to prove he's the guy, right? And I think when you look at the schedule, when you look at the opponents on the calendar for Green Bay, this is a great opportunity for Jordan Love to show, yeah, I belong. I am one of the best quarterbacks in the league. I am one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the league, and rightfully so. So we will see as we await a couple months away from the Packers season opener against the Detroit Lions. When I get to this, is we're in the world of football because I saw this headline, it caught my eye, then listened to the interview. So the NFL is expected to, you know, get a full vote finally on whether or not the tush push will be banned in 2025. And obviously, the Philadelphia Eagles are the team that did it best. Mark Murphy, on his way out the door, kind of taking one for the team here. He's the one that brought it to the table, the discussion to the table on whether or not the tush push should be banned. Former Packers running back A.J. Dillon, Joshy, who obviously did not play last year and has now signed a one-year contract with the Philadelphia Eagles. Can't beat him, join him. Was asked over the weekend on NBC Sports Philadelphia if he could talk to Mark Murphy about the tush push. This is what the former Packer A.J. Dillon had to say, NBC Sports Philadelphia.
Funny enough, I do a podcast with my brother-in-law, and he's here in Green Bay and where we started it. And I was giving him a lot of flack for that. I'm like, you ban the play just because it works really well. How about you come up with a play to stop it? Week 10 will be interesting. That'll be a lot of fun.
Week 10 will be interesting. That's, of course, when the Packers host the reigning Super Bowl champion at Lambeau Field. If A.J. Dillon makes the roster, he will be in attendance at Lambeau Field Week 10.
I've never had the opportunity to say this.
I'm really excited for whatever's coming next.
A.J. Dillon is going to do whatever it takes to endear himself to the fan base he's currently playing for. I don't take any of it as real, genuine behavior. I take it as self-serving public relations. So, of course, he is anti the Packers banning the tush push, because what's going to get him the most applause, what's going to get him the most people listening to his podcast that he apparently has with his brother-in-law, huge one, I've heard of it before, definitely, and get the most people to his Twitch streams or whatever little events he's hosting.
Yeah.
He is very clearly, maybe due to lack of talent, seeking ways to make money that aren't involved with playing football.
Just to translate, you are saying A.J. Dillon is overcompensating.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think he always has been. And I know Mayor of Door County.
Quadzilla, yeah.
Yeah. It's whatever's going to serve him in the moment.
He called me Harry Potter once.
I don't know what I'm supposed to do with that information.
It was offensive.
Take offense.
I did.
Good.
Yeah, look, A.J. Dillon is an interesting case, right? Obviously, he was a second-round pick in 2020.
Here's the thing. A.J. Dillon, the least interesting football player I've ever watched.
That is a fair thing to say.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what his role with the Eagles will be. I would guess it's probably to push Jalen Hurts on the tush-push going forward.
Left out. Practice squad, maybe.
So if you had to predict right now, May 19th, is A.J. Dillon suited up for that game week 10 at Lambeau Field?
Maybe as like a, hey, this is nice. You worked really hard on our practice squad. We have a spot for you. Go play some special teams for
us. So lack of a better term, you think his career is pretty much over?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Got it. Yeah. Yeah. When he elected to stay with the Packers for a contract that is basically, or an exception of like the CBA, that basically allows you to come back for free. Mm-hmm. When no one offered him anything better, pretty good indication.
It was essentially a veteran minimum.
Yes.
But it wasn't technically a veteran minimum.
But less than the veteran minimum.
Correct.
Yeah.
And then obviously he was inactive the entire season.
Yeah, yeah. It's something that you so rarely hear of happening, because usually if you're going to get a contract, you'll get an extension that's, you know, more worthwhile. So it is what it is. I mean, I'm not even a huge fan of the Packers being the mouthpiece for the NFL to get this banned.
I'm not surprised by that, though.
No, we know who Mark Murphy is. We know he is the useful idiot, and people feel bad whenever you say that, but whenever this stuff comes up, Mark Murphy's always a champion of it.
I imagine he would laugh if you said that to his face.
I think he would, because I imagine he would also recognize, yeah, I'm doing my part, but guess what? It got us an NFL draft.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a political game he's playing.
And he's good at it.
Yes.
And he's one of the best in the league at it. Right. And not being the only non-owner that's in those rooms, that's in those conversations. Uh-huh.
He swings a big stick. Sometimes, for a guy that doesn't have the same net worth as literally everyone else in the room.
And it's not like he's not well off. It's not going to twist it, right? Yeah. Mark Murphy is very well off, given his very impressive career.
NFL owners are magnitudes richer than he is.
Correct.
More rich.
But he is also magnitudes richer than we are.
Yes, correct.
Not that that needed to be said.
No, I don't think anybody... Well, actually, he owns a golf course.
You did just make a grand, so you got to be well on
your
way.
Yeah, I spent the grand.
I would do the same thing. No judgment. No judgment here, pal.
Birthdays. Expensive.
The month of May, sneaky expensive.
Oh, brother, I got a wedding this weekend.
Do you? Where's that at?
It's in the city, which is nice, but...
So no hotel?
No. But there's the Friday.
You're cutting a check of...
There's a Friday, the pre-party, the welcome party.
Well, let's have a talk right here.
Yep.
So I've got like 6 weddings this year.
Uh-huh.
We're just in that fun age group. What's your standard check you're writing?
It depends on the level of the wedding and the level of the invite. It's usually between $100 and $150.
Okay, that's where I live as well.
Yeah. Because, I mean, especially if it's like not an open bar.
Right.
It's like, what do you... I mean, I'm paying for my drinks.
So that's the meal. That's when you cut the $100?
Yeah.
Do you know prior to going to the wedding whether or not there's an open bar?
Oftentimes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I never ask. Maybe I should.
No, people usually comes up in conversation. Like, I'm rarely getting to invited to a place where it's like not someone I'm pretty good friends with that will throw in like, yeah, we've got X amount of kegs for blah blah. You know, like
right.
So, yeah. Do you go in blind?
I feel like I have.
There's definitely been a handful of times, but I generally
I stood up at a wedding a few weeks ago, and I didn't know what the bar situation was. Well, it was ultimately open.
Everything I heard about that seemed like you wouldn't have known a lot.
That's a fair point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes I don't know because I'm not interested in knowing.
And that's probably where I live.
Yeah.
Right? It's just such a small detail. You've got other things to worry about.
Open bar is the biggest detail.
Not well for me, it is. But I'm thinking from the mindset of the bride or the groom. You've got so many other things to worry about.
I mean, maybe this is saying something about me and my friends. It's a big deal to all of us.
Well, Josh, I agree. I'm agreeing with what you're saying. It is a big deal because if you're going to a wedding, you're getting sloshy.
One of the first things this wedding I'm attending
this weekend,
yeah, that was said to me about it was there's going to be free high life.
Okay, here's the thing, Will. What I'm realizing is this is a Joshy thing more than an anybody else thing.
The high life, definitely. Yes.
Well,
I would say open bar, like the status of the bar is definitely top priority.
Will, how many weddings have you attended recently?
I actually just got invited to my first one. It's coming up at the end of June.
Your first one?
Wow. Yeah.
You've never been to a wedding before?
I've been with like my family, but this is the first one solo where I have to cut the check.
You get a plus one?
I did, but I'm not going to use it.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I tend to agree.
The only time I've really ever used a single me has used a plus one was this person is a good friend and this person knows these people. So
but
they would
make the invite.
Right. So they would enjoy them being there. They gave me the plus one. It's like this all makes sense. They're not quite invite list worthy, but if they see them there, they'd be like, oh, that's nice. Thanks for coming type deal.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, exactly.
Because otherwise, I'll just leave it. I used to just, plenty of them I just left out there. Like,
sure.
I'm going to know 70% of these people. What does it matter to me?
Yeah.
I'm going to be at a table with everyone I know. What does one extra person do me?
Can we acknowledge you're a popular cat?
I think I'm good at making friends. I don't know how good I am at maintaining them, but I certainly had a lot more friends in my younger days. They're certainly starting to wane now.
Sure.
Since I don't go out as much, I don't do as much as I used to.
It was nice to hear from you this weekend.
It was.
Did you just affirm that it was nice to hear from you?
Yeah. I always think, and this is usually what happens, is I get wrapped up in plans and then go, man, I should have invited X, Y, and Z, but it's like, I'm already there, we're already going, the person's like, I got this. I'm not good at the pre-planning of hey, I'm doing this weekend. If it's not something I'm thinking about at that moment and I'm looking at you, I'm probably going to forget.
That's fair.
That's just how it goes. And I rely on everyone else around me to do the inviting. So, yeah, it was an honor. You got a phone call. I had ulterior motives, but hey.
It was an honor. I get a phone call from Joshy, I don't know, what would you say, 4 or 5 o'clock Saturday afternoon? Might have been earlier than that.
No, I think it was a little bit, I mean, we could look.
We could. That's true.
That would make sense.
Let's just put it this way, not to put his business on the street. He was in good shape. 5:23 p.m.
Yeah, so 5:30. Yeah.
You were in good shape.
It was the Newport anniversary bar located in Bayview.
I thought you were referring to cigarettes at first. No, nope.
I would celebrate a cigarette's birthday too, but no, it was that. And that started at noon. I also went golfing at 7:39 tea time. Only had two drinks though, responsible. It wasn't that nice out too. Always harder to drink on the golf course.
That's true, if it's not cold.
That, yeah. Right. You're just like, well, I'm going to hold this cold beer while I'm shivering. No, not worth it. So yeah, started at noon, 5:30, had a couple shots, a couple brewskis. Next thing you know.
Next thing you know, you're calling Strophy.
Uh-huh.
Ulterior motives.
Yeah, I thought you would be within viewing distance of where I am right now, just having a couple beers like you tend to do Monday through Sunday.
I did have two here yesterday.
Yeah, see?
But I was out of town on Saturday. I was up in the great city of Oshkosh, which, no disrespect to Oshkosh, it's one of my least favorite cities in the state.
Why is that?
It's just not nice. We stayed in an Airbnb, and it was ultimately like a studio apartment. But on the outside, it was not pretty. Inside was nice, but it was like a shack, and the siding was falling off, and it looked like there had been some illegal activity going on.
You bought and paid for an Airbnb to attend a independent wrestling event over the weekend?
That is correct, yeah. Went to ACW Wisconsin, which is led by former WWE superstar Hornswoggle, Dylan Postel.
You've said that name multiple times because you said it to me on the phone on...
Well, yes, you were with Gabe Neitzel, yes. And I knew he would know what I was talking about.
But it's Hornswoggle?
That was his name in WWE, yes.
It's just like a... You said it the first time, and I was like, I must have misheard that. That can't be a real thing.
No, so Hornswoggle was he was the essentially sidekick to Finlay, who was an Irish guy. Okay. So he was dressed up as a little leprechaun, and he would hide under the ring.
I've seen this, yes.
Yes, that was him. And now he's from Oshkosh originally, so he opened several years ago now his own wrestling company. This was the sixth year I've gone to. This would be like their equivalent of WrestleMania. It's called Water City Wrestling Con.
How many people attend?
It's over 1,000.
Wow.
This is the first year I've attended. It hasn't been completely sold out. I would guess probably about 1,200, 1,300 people.
Wow. People are freaks.
But this is the one where they bring back a ton of former WWE superstars. So like from a long time ago, the tag team Demolition was there. Kelly Kelly was there. Santino Marella was there. JBL was there.
The only name I've recognized is JBL.
He gave quite a clothesline at one point. It was pretty
And
sweet.
I've had a passing knowledge of wrestling because of Gabe Neitzel now for most of my adult life. I mean, the A-list ain't coming through there, it sounds like. What would you say the level of wrestling is in terms of skill?
Oh, it's good. It's good. Yeah, there were some good matches. Some great spots. There was at one point, there were some big fellas in the ring. And there was a triple suplex off the top rope, so three people involved. The ring went kaboom. It was pretty sweet. And then I'm just drinking buckets of beers and yelling
at
people I don't know. Always fun.
Yeah. I mean, I attended one wrestling. It was like a Monday Night Raw at the Bradley Center.
Yeah, that's different.
Good time.
That's WWE.
Yeah,
we need to get you to the indie scene.
No.
Josh, you're missing out. I promise.
I don't know.
You love weirdos.
Yeah, I'd have to wear shades inside. I'd be staring at too many of the attendees, the patrons.
Yeah, it was a great time. Shout out to ACW. Great event as always. Okay. Let's get to Giannis. Cause I'm so sick of everything that's going on with this. And I'm gonna say that for the next 2 months because it's not gonna come to an end anytime soon. But the new thing I've noticed that people are stuck on, it started with our buddy Emmett Golden from ESPN Cleveland on ESPN Radio last week, pitching the idea of Evan Mobley for Giannis. And then Bill Simmons and Ryan Russillo over the weekend had a clip go viral where they both said, yeah, both sides would sign off on Evan Mobley for Giannis straight up. And while Evan Mobley would be fine return on top of hopefully some picks or additional players or what have you, it ain't Giannis. Evan Mobley's a good player. You ain't Giannis. I thought you and Gabe Neitzel, Joshy, this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy were really good on this topic because Chris Haynes reports that the Bucks and Giannis will come together for a meeting at some point this week to discuss the future for both sides. You kind of spun in a way, you and Gabe did, in a way where the Bucks have the leverage. Where it's the NBA, naturally the players typically have the leverage. The thing is, you might be right on this. Now, if you're the Bucks, I think, now it is unfortunate, but it's the truth, with the Jason Tatum injury that he occurred and will likely miss the entirety of next season, I think you have a stronger case to make about how wide open the Eastern Conference is than you did even a week ago for Giannis. But I don't know if next year is necessarily what you need to sell Giannis on.
Yeah, right. I'm right there with you.
I don't know that you need to sell Giannis on anything, which is why the Bucks. Yeah, I mean, maybe. But again, we got to remember who we're talking about. Because if you're needing to sell Giannis, that means Giannis is heavily considering asking out, which I just don't think is the case. So all in all, I think the Bucks are in a really good place, and this meeting this week ultimately will come down to, okay, here is what our priorities are and our goals are this offseason to make sure that we are back in the conversation in the Eastern Conference, even without a Damian Lillard. That's where I think things go when they meet later this week.
I think Giannis is approaching the meeting with the Bucks with a level of cautious optimism. I don't want to say he's resigned to saying, I'm coming back no matter what. I think that would be rather presumptuous of a hyper-competitor. I do think there's a way for the meeting that's planned for sometime this midweek to go off the rails and there to be some ideas he's not too fond of or processes he's not too fond of. I still think it's more likely than not that he remains a member of the Milwaukee Bucks, but to think like the Bucks can approach this meeting with, yeah, Giannis, you'll be back, would be foolish because then there wouldn't even be a meeting. The fact that there's a meeting tells us there's at least some sort of recruitment and vision for the future that needs to be spelled out to Giannis.
Okay, I agree with the second half of that. I don't know about the recruitment part.
I think you have to recruit all the time with star players in the NBA.
Sure.
I think that's just not saying Giannis is, that means Giannis is like, hey, this sucks. I hate it here. Right. You're recruiting him as like, hey, here's why you should still be a member of the Bucks and want to be a member of the Bucks.
Here's why it's the best option for
yes,
you. Right?
Correct.
And again, I don't know how much of that even needs to be spelled out. It will. And I think maybe that's the recruitment piece you're referring to.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt.
No.
The vision, the organization.
Getting on the same page.
Yes.
It almost seems like we're aligning priorities.
Yes.
And that's more what this meeting is about than, hey, Giannis, don't leave. Please don't leave. It's more, hey, here's our game plan.
Yeah,
here's,
I mean,
how you fit into it.
If we know anything about superstar athletes, they're a little fickle. And I know we don't want to call Giannis fickle, but I mean, he has the utmost expectations for himself, the people around him, and the jersey he puts on, that organization. That, to me, I think even if Dame was healthy, this is still a conversation that needs to be had. It probably doesn't have the news around it, but it's, hey, what are we doing? Because Dame's a year older, we've got some free agents. Like, this is what it is like to be a major player in professional sports. Your team is constantly recruiting you, especially in the NBA where players have the ability to kind of pick their destiny to some level. Now, the NFL and MLB, that's certainly not the case. But when it comes to the NBA, it's closer to college where, hey, you had a good year here and we have a plan for you to be in the future, but there's no promise you're coming back.
Mm-hmm.
We never know. We never know what options you might find more suitable for your future.
Yeah, I think that's well said. So we will see. I'm still on the page of, I don't think anything happens this offseason. I think he's a Buck.
Yeah, that's the way I lean. Now, the fact that there's a Haslam involved now raises my worry meter a tiny bit. And I do think, and I said it on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning, we are the closest ever to losing Giannis as we've ever been.
Yeah, like, I fully agree with that.
Yeah. And
but this feels like, real quick, Josh, the first off season where it's even been a
really
realistic
been a thing,
possibility.
Right, correct. But it's more of a possibility than I'd like it to be.
That I agree with also.
It's more of a possibility than I'm comfortable with. I think cooler heads prevail in this. Not saying anyone's being a hothead, but just using the phrase there.
Yeah.
Cooler heads prevail, and you make the case of, well, Giannis, the team that would be able to acquire you, this is what it would look like after a trade gets done. You're kind of putting yourself in a similar situation without the history, your family, the long, like the ties here. Like, that's sort of probably the way the pitch goes.
Let me hit you with something.
Okay.
This might be one of the craziest things I've ever said. I'm going to make you feel better about Jimmy Haslam's involvement.
Well, it's going to be hard to do.
Jimmy Haslam, now an owner of the Milwaukee Bucks, as we know, the last couple of years, and ultimately probably does have a large say on how the Bucks maneuver to these waters. I would just keep in mind, Jimmy Haslam also owns the Cleveland Browns.
I wouldn't lead with that statement when you're talking about Jimmy Haslam.
Give me a minute. This offseason, in the NFL, the Cleveland Browns had a generational talent ask out. And they found a way to keep him in Myles Garrett.
For me to take that as any sort of evidence would require a level of head in the sand that would be indescribable. He just admitted to how wrong he was by signing Deshaun Watson and what a mistake they made as a franchise.
That was a big mistake, yes.
So
for multiple reasons.
He's prone to mistakes. So just because Myles Garrett in the NFL where players don't get to pick their...
But couldn't we make the case the Damian Lillard trade was his mistake if we're gonna do NFL versus NBA?
Wasn't he a smaller piece of ownership at that point and has since grown it?
Maybe.
That was my understanding, at least.
I trust your understanding. I could be wrong on that.
Yeah, whatever it is, the Bucks haven't been better since Jimmy Haslam showed up.
No, definitely not.
They haven't... I mean, Kyle Kuzma. Kuz. One of the worst trades in Wisconsin sports.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly didn't... You didn't see the returns you were hoping for. That's no doubt. At least he was available, but not that affected anything.
You're available.
That's true, I am. Yeah.
Cheaper.
I would play on a vet man.
Uh-huh. I know you would. You would get bullied off the court, but hey.
Or at least I'd give effort.
Yep. Less likely to get lost on defense.
Who do you have more faith in basketball-wise, me or Will Summers, after he told us on Friday that he's been bullying 15-year-olds at the local basketball court?
Well, this puts me in a rock and a hard place situation here because I'm dealing with the two utmost exaggerators or overbelievers in their own skills.
You think?
I mean, Will has said some of the more preposterous things we've had said here in his short time.
Yeah, that's true.
That he could, what did he think, he could beat up Joe Thomas?
No, I never said that.
Oh, no, you said that.
No, I did not.
You said you would beat him in a boxing match.
I said I could last for 2 minutes.
Yeah, no,
without getting knocked out.
In a boxing match
out.
Against NFL Hall of Famer Joe Thomas, who is unbelievably shredded.
Yes.
I think you guys are underestimating how big a boxing ring is.
No. No.
You think you're just going to run around?
Essentially.
God, you're an idiot.
Have you seen a boxing match? They get tied up
Josh,
all the time.
I'm so glad you brought this up. I forgot about this. Yeah. I don't know that we ever brought that on the air. Maybe we did.
He'd pop your noggin off.
What do you mean they get tied up? If you get tied up, you're going down.
No, like you've seen like the Pacquiao Mayweather fight back in the day. Like it was notorious for being so boring because they were just getting tied up.
Yes, but those are professional
like
boxers.
The fight.
Yeah.
You're dealing with a man double or triple your size.
You think if you tried to tie up with Joe Thomas,
that would end well?
He
for
wouldn't
you?
Just break your arm.
I mean, the ref would have to break it up,
and then he's going to pop you in the nose.
Yeah.
Speaking of getting popped, while we're on Will, what happened this weekend?
It was a weird situation, night out. I don't know. Should I go into full detail about it?
Please.
Yeah.
Whatever you're willing to share.
I was hanging out with a couple friends, and a group of girls called me over.
Hell yeah!
So you got catcalled.
Yeah, I went over.
Come here, hot stuff.
I went over there, and they told me to look that way, like away from them. I was like, okay. I was really confused. And then one of them kind of grabbed me, and then the other one kicked me where the sun don't shine.
So you got assaulted.
Kind of.
That's not a kind of, Will.
Yeah.
If you unwillingly were kicked in the cojones, that's assault.
Yeah.
Brother.
That is the definition of assault.
I'm still kind of in shock about it happening because I was just so confused.
Okay, now, what did we learn from our experience this weekend?
What do you mean?
You tell me.
He asked you a question. Strolf,
correct me. I learned that people are unpredictable. You never know what's going to happen.
Strolf, correct me if I'm wrong when I say I nor Strolf have ever been called over to a table to be then headlocked and kicked in the cojones.
That is correct. That's never happened.
Never happened to me.
I've been called over to tables.
Hell yeah.
Never for that reason.
Nope. And I've been called over to tables for not the reason you would think.
Yeah.
It was just like, hey, we have a question about this. Maybe you have an answer. I've been called over to tables for any sort of reason.
Never to be kicked.
Never once did the people across from me think, I'm going to physically bully this guy.
Yeah, you just might be easily bullied.
Yeah.
And this is karma, because on Friday, you spent time on this show talking about how you've been going up to the park by your apartment and beating up on 15-year-olds while playing basketball because they think you're actually like 17 and not 22.
I'm just making them better.
That's a spin zone.
Inspiring the next generation.
Sure. So, Josh, you never answered the question.
Who would do better?
If we played a one-on-one basketball game.
Well, you have a distinct height advantage.
Distinct.
Yes. You've played competitive basketball allegedly at the high school level.
Allegedly.
We've seen your three cone, your 40, all that. Now, Will was a Division III athlete.
He was.
Played baseball. Not really transferable skill set there, mm-hmm. especially as a catcher.
It sounds to me like everything's turning up, Strolf.
I don't think you're coordinated enough to dribble the ball long enough to score on me. That's like the thing I keep coming back to.
Okay, he's got the tape measure out all of a sudden.
Yeah, yeah. See, the reason there's weight classes in boxing and why Will's proposition of lasting 2 minutes with Joe Thomas is so crazy is because they have weight classes because size matters a lot.
Mm.
It's always mattered a lot.
You hear that, Will?
It virtually is the biggest indicator of, you know, football, basketball. Guys like Giannis.
Getting kicked at the bar.
Yeah. I don't want to undersell Will's ability here, but if you can just sort of back him down and get a couple, like, I'm not sure he's getting shots off on you.
Hmm.
Because you are, what, a foot taller than him?
I don't know if it's a full foot, but I mean, it's close.
Yeah.
How tall are you?
5'10".
How tall are you actually?
Round up, 6 foot.
How tall are you actually?
5'8". Okay. Higher side of 5'7".
All right, so I've got a half a foot on him.
Yes.
Higher side of 5'7", round up,
your
6
wingspan
foot.
Is probably 2 feet bigger than his.
That's probably accurate. So you're picking me.
I think I have to.
This is wild.
Just based on,
by the way,
all I know about basketball.
Dennis says in the ESPN Madison YouTube chat, Will, he says, you get kicked in the jewels, you should call the cops and sue.
No.
You're not a narc?
No.
No, don't sue.
Did you even get a phone number out of this exchange?
No.
Did you just tuck your tail and walk back to the table you had originally?
What happened at the end of this?
I mean, all my friends saw it happen, and then I just tried to pretend that it didn't. I just walked away. I was like, so, this weather, crazy, right? It's getting cold all of a sudden.
See, this would never happen to me.
Oh, here we go. Perfect Joshy.
But had it have happened, I would have said, what the hell was that? What are we doing here, ladies?
That's exactly what my response. What are we doing?
Yeah, curiosity would have killed the cat in this situation. I might have got kicked again.
It also just happened so fast. Like, I couldn't even think of anything else.
So you didn't ask any follow-up questions?
No, they just started laughing.
You got kicked between the legs.
No, basically, they laughed.
Everyone was laughing at me. My friends were laughing at me. They were laughing at me. And I wasn't even embarrassed. I was just confused.
No, you were embarrassed.
Now I'm embarrassed.
I was going to say, I don't know if embarrassment could set in that quick. Because getting headlocked and kicked in the cojones.
So there was a headlock and a kick.
It was two. Yeah, it was a
two
tag.
Separate.
It got double teamed.
Yes, it was a tag team effort.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Were they attractive?
Yeah, I'd say so. They're around my age. Yeah.
What? Now,
be careful.
Now it's not. We're not in grade school anymore. It was very common for boys and girls at that age to pick on and bully people they liked.
They had a crush on, right?
Yes. That was a very
That's what I'm trying to get to here, Josh.
Right. And now I'm trying to wonder, was there potentially a missed opportunity here?
No, 100%.
Or were you simply the 5'7 guy who looked like an easy target?
Honestly, I think it was the latter, the second one.
You think you were just getting bullied by two random women?
Yeah.
I think they were hitting on you.
Maybe.
In a very strange way, might I add. That's my read on it.
Now, this is difficult to say given the context. I have heard of crazier things.
Yes, totally agree.
But the fact that there was never any re-entry to a conversation after that would lead me to be on Will's side here, where they spotted a sucker. Will was over there looking happy, innocent. They said,
I think we just received one of the craziest messages we've ever had in this show history.
99 will shine.
We did get one of those from Barry Sorrell.
Shout out.
That's not what I'm referring to. I don't even know how to feel about this. It's a text from Chef Ed.
Oh, boy.
Will, succumb to them and let them abuse you if they're hot.
Oh! We don't kink shame here. But I don't think that's a wise advice, going to be honest.
I tend to agree. Yeah. I don't know if I agree with the advice. I just figured I'd read you the advice we are receiving in the YouTube comments.
Thoughts, Will?
No. Just no.
Okay.
All right. So, final answer. Missed opportunity by Will. I say yes.
It's hard not being there and seeing it. Because it feels like... Now, there were more than two girls as part of this group.
Yeah, I think there's like three or four of them total.
And how many of you and your buddies?
I mean, I was in a group of like four at the time, but I had more that were spread out throughout the bar.
The establishment.
Yes.
A lot of people there?
A decent amount.
How often do you go to this place?
Like almost never. It's like my second time ever being there.
So you don't think you'll ever see these women again?
I hope not.
I think you have to go back.
I do too.
Yeah.
I think you got to go back this Saturday.
I would love an interview with them.
Will, I'll come with you.
Will Summers reporting live from bar. I'm speaking here with the two women who decided to headlock me and kick me in the cojones. First question, what the hell was that? Why'd you do that to me? Were you bullying me?
Were you hitting on me?
All fair questions.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just as interested to know the answers to those questions as you are.
What do they say? All is fair in love and war?
Uh-huh.
We were somewhere in the middle. I just don't know where.
Yeah, I mean, that's up for interpretation.
Definitely. What an insane story that is. Okay, good stuff, Will. I want to give us some runway for what we learned, because Joshy sent this over the weekend, and we got to hear from Pat Murphy. So you learn something new every day. We learn something new today. It's time now for What We Learned, which is presented by Door County Distillery. Locally produced, handcrafted, award-winning spirits made locally in beautiful Door County. No matter what it is, baby. Cherry brandy infused with local Door County cherries. How about the bourbon? Love their bourbon. The 27-time gold medal award-winning single malt whiskey. They've got rums, they've got gins, they've got vodkas, they've got brandies, they've got whiskeys. And they're available all over the great state of Wisconsin for you. Local, affordable, award-winning. It's the greatest. Door County Distillery. DoorCountyDistillery.com to find a huge list of unique cocktail recipes, as well as the retailer nearest you. They've got a cool search tool. Just click what you're looking for. If you're looking for the cherry brandy, if you're looking for the bourbon, which I will always tell you to get if you're a bourbon person, you can select that, and then it'll show you the retailer near multiple options near you, whether you're in Milwaukee, Madison, Stevens Point, Green Bay, wherever you are. Door County Distillery's got you covered. DoorCountyDistillery.com. So, Brewers aren't playing too hot, despite a win yesterday. It's been a rough couple of weeks for the Milwaukee Brewers. Pat Murphy, after a loss on Saturday night, was kind of just riffing. And I don't know if this was on purpose, if this was an accident, but Pat Murphy went ahead and said the quiet part out loud. Long overdue, said the quiet part out loud. Here's the skip Saturday after the loss.
To stay undaunted means the mental toughness to stay in the now. It's really, really hard. And it's hard when you care a lot. But caring a lot isn't enough. You got to care a lot and you got to do it. Be in the now. I trust the players. I like the players. I think they're good. Now, Did we go spend a lot of money in the offseason, guys? Let's call a spade a spade. No, we didn't. Are we real deep in the position player business? No, we're not. But we have good ones.
But we have good ones. That's Pat Murphy Saturday after a loss to the Minnesota Twins, another shutout loss for the Brewers, which at that point was four of their last five games were shutout losses between games against the Guardians and the Twins. The Brewers have lost four of their last six games. It's actually even more than that, if I'm not mistaken. I think it's seven of their last 10 they've lost. Brewers are 22-25. They rank fourth in the NL Central. Has not been a very great start.
Let's not forget they have tied the franchise record in game shutout.
Already.
They've been shut out in
47 games.
For those keeping track at home, it is the 19th.
And they have 25 losses.
Yes.
19 of their 25 losses were shutouts.
No, I'm saying 19th of the month. So of May 1st through 19th, they've been, I believe it's six times they've been shut out, which ties the franchise record for shutouts in a month, and they still have entire half of month left.
They have four series left in the month.
Yeah.
Four.
Uh-huh. They are one of the worst in the league at slugging percentage. Shout out to Sale Frelick.
That seemed unnecessary.
They are not scoring runs. Their offense is the bigger issue than their injury-depleted pitching staff. They aren't scoring runs with timely hitting. They aren't hitting the ball into the gap. They aren't hitting it over the fence. They have had two players-only meetings.
Two.
Less than 50 games into the season.
We are 47 games into the season.
Things aren't super well there. As you heard Pat Murphy say, we did not spend money in the offseason. To me, that sounded like somebody who might have let some frustration sneak out with feelings that he had all offseason about the team, the direction it was going after Willy Adames left.
Yep.
And he said the quiet part out loud. He said the thing we all thought about, the thing we all tried to erase from our memory. The salary is lower in 2025 as it was in 2024. And with the loss of Willy Adames, Devin Williams, the Brewers really did nothing to get better. They tried to improve within. Joey Ortiz has not been what they hoped. The farm system hasn't brought the guys together. And the guys they have and have relied on in the past aren't performing. Rhys Hoskins is having a good season. Mm-hmm. And then other than that, I think pretty much everyone else's season's been a disappointment. Money and the Brewers, for someone within the organization to mention it, is frankly like a third rail type situation. Can't talk about it. Isn't going to be received well. People don't want to hear it because it's been frustration for a long time.
Long time.
People like to live in the world of, yes, I'm aware the Brewers don't spend that much money. They don't seem to try and seize on unique opportunities when they have three of the best pitchers all in baseball. They don't go all out and try and build a contender. Pat Murphy showing that gives me serious concern about any playoff hopes for the Brewers. Because if he's casting those doubts, his players are hearing that.
Without a doubt.
There's potential he's now hearing from ownership and the front office about it. How happy is he with it? How do you let that slip out? Because how are you supposed to look your fan base the year of, what did Mark Adonazio say?
Family fun.
Of entertainment and passion.
Oh, that's it.
As a steward of baseball. And the Brewers wanted to tell us that was just an unfinished sentence. He didn't get fully out what he wanted to. Well, your own manager seems to think like the rest of us who are casting doubts on those comments. So now what?
Yeah, let's make it really clear, Joshy. Pat Murphy is a pro's pro, right? He knows the roster that he's going to get, and he is going to coach the roster that he gets to the best of his ability without complaining. We are 47 games into the season. We were 46 games into the season when he said this, prior to Sunday's win. He is already casting doubts on the product that he, as the manager of this baseball team, has the ability to put on the field. After winning, by the way, the NL Manager of the Year last year. Why did Pat Murphy run away with the NL Manager of the Year last year? Yes, partially because the Brewers were very good. Yes, partially because the Brewers won the NL Central. But is a manager getting that award and all the credit that Murphy received, if it wasn't a little surprising, if it wasn't overperforming expectations, if it wasn't kicking the expectations of the curb and saying, hey, by the way, we've arrived, it was because the Brewers overperformed in 2024 that Pat Murphy won the NL Manager of the Year. Rightfully so. He deserved to win that award. But you can't expect that every year if you're paying less and less for the product you're putting on the field. And for Pat Murphy to not only say the quiet part out loud, but to also just acknowledge the truth. The fact of the matter is, the Brewers do not operate like a team that wants to win a championship. They do not operate like a team that is showing urgency to win a championship. They are operating like a team that is trying to create memories for families in the summer in Milwaukee. They are not operating like a team that is going to be playing meaningful baseball in the middle of October. That's the fact of the matter. And Pat Murphy, Saturday night, maybe he shouldn't have, but he did acknowledge the fact that what they are doing to build a winning baseball team isn't enough to win a championship, let alone the division itself. Because you know who is doing that? You know who is building a team that's maybe headed towards a championship direction? Chicago Cubs are. They're spending money in the offseason. They're investing in their manager, the former Brewers manager, Craig Counsell. That's what the Cubs are doing. Look at the entire division of the NL West, practically. Those are teams that are spending money on free agents. Those are teams that are developing teams with young up-and-coming superstars. While the story of the young players that are, maybe are evolving into superstars for the Brewers, like Jackson Chourio and Bryce Tarang, while those are nice stories, it's not enough to win a championship. So to hear Pat Murphy go ahead and say, let's call a spade, we didn't spend that much money in the offseason, it's a little scary because that makes it seem like the panic button is being hit internally. But it is refreshing because, to Joshy's point, Brewers fans have acknowledged this the whole time. But the Brewers have consistently, at least the last few years, overperformed and overachieved. And now this year, as adversity starts to hit this ball team, you've got two players-only meetings. You're five games under 500. You've been shut out left and right every other day, it feels. It's just not good enough. And it was refreshing to see from Pat Murphy. I wish I could call it encouraging because that was going to be the moment that things turn around. And obviously they got a win yesterday. But I don't anticipate this being a very pretty end of the season, or remainder of the season, I guess we should say, for the Milwaukee Brewers. I don't think they're going to be in a position to make the playoffs. I don't think they're going to be in a position to compete for a championship. And if we're really getting into the future, I would imagine I feel very similarly this time next year.
I agree with most of what you said. The one part I have to disagree with was it being refreshing. To me, when I heard it, it felt like someone distancing themselves from lack of performance.
You're saying he is eluding accountability?
It felt like excuse making more than accountability.
I would agree with that, but I would also say the excuse is accurate.
Right. The excuse is accurate, and I think that's fine. I don't think it's the job of the manager to provide the excuse.
Sure.
And I don't think it, I don't read that as being so much of a positive from him where, we only know so much about Pat Murphy at this point. It's only he's, what, a year and a quarter into being the Brewers manager. It doesn't feel like that's something that would be said by somebody who is in for the long haul and is going to rally his troops. It seems like somebody pointing fingers, albeit accurate. Let's get that straight. I agree with him. This has long been my frustration. People, market. They shout it at you. TV contracts, they shout it all you want. There's a difference between being limited by market size, and then there's taken advantage of your market. Mark Adonazio has turned his $200 million investment into a $2 billion investment when he bought the Brewers. Milwaukee has been good to him. And I don't think it's unfair to expect somebody to take some losses and not just take losses, be it the books, because you're building a new facility in Arizona. Take a losses of money taken in by your product, 162 games by sales, all of that, and the contracts that you have for a few years. I think there's a big difference in that, and that's the Packers. The Brewers have done a really good job of, it's almost like a Stockholm syndrome, their fans into, well, this is the best we can do.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, they've overachieved, and be it through, Stearns.
Oh, yeah.
Then to Arnold. Yep. They've done a great job of building the farm system, of building up young players, of building up arms, of, you know, the scouting, the pitching, whatever they got going on there, it's worked well, and it's been to their great benefit. I also don't think it's accurate to say that they're turning over every leaf to be World Series champions.
It's definitely not accurate. Now, right, give credit where credit's due. But they've overachieved.
Yes.
And clearly, so far this season, that's not the case.
And we just went through the best time ever to be a Brewers fan. The Craig Council era to the beginning of the Pat Murphy era, as much success as Milwaukee Brewers fans have had in their history. It also doesn't mean that they are going out of their way to bring the pennant home.
Hey, at least Jackson Chourio had a sick catch.
That was cool.
That was cool. This season so far, not so cool, but still a lot of season
now,
left.
Now, not to pat myself on the back here, but let me pat myself on the back. I remember when I said, after the Yankee series, this is a reason to make me have doubts, because not only did you lost in historic fashion. Mm-hmm. You gave up record amounts of home runs and runs.
What was it? 36 runs?
And then followed that up by getting smoked
the
first two games against Kansas City. And I said, hey, this is making me a little nervous. Mm-hmm. I think that nervousness has made it into the clubhouse.
I think so, too.
And I think it's everywhere. And the fact that this isn't major news and isn't being played on every newscast or sportscast or every radio program you listen to, I think it's a great job by the Brewers and the MLB of making sure this stuff doesn't get out there.
Losers of 7 of their last 10, the Milwaukee Brewers are. They opened a 3-game series at AmFam Field tonight against the Baltimore Orioles.
You can only go up from here.
I don't think that's true, but we can hope so. We can hope so. All right, Will, good job today. Hope your cojones retire.
Retired. Recover.
Recover is the word I was looking for.
Thank you.
When's the last time you got kicked with a sundown shine, Joshy? I was trying to think about this. I don't have an answer.
My dog does it a lot, but not intentionally.
Oh, my dog does it too, I guess. Yeah.
There's a lot of times I get a full speed, just run into me and whack.
Okay.
You know, that happens.
I'm trying to think by a human though.
Oh,
decade?
College. Yeah. Somebody maybe did the old tap.
I don't like the hand motion you just made.
Yeah, I don't know if that's an accurate description.
The good news is
all the men here know exactly.
Your camera's incredibly laggy, so.
All men here know exactly what that motion means. It's the someone walks by you.
That will do it for us. We will be back with you Wednesday beginning at 12:30 Central. That's the sound we'll
made
on Saturday.
You know one time I had a friend black out. He got hit in the cojones so bad.
Really?
Lost vision. Was doing this number after they got hit
so
hard.
He was just acting.
No. I saw the panic in his face.
Oh, wow.
The genuine sheer horror that had crossed his face.
We'll talk to you Wednesday beginning at 12:30 Central, ESPN Madison, ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube, and of course, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and the all-new customizable ESPN Wisconsin app. Have a good couple of days. We'll talk to you Wednesday. Peace.